Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, 74b. One line up from the bottom. Right? Kushim Bekushim Min Bimino. So I've been led to understand at any rate. The Mishnah had said that if we mix up karbanos, it was the fourth part of the Mishnah. Kachim b'kachim bim bimino, zeyi karv l'shem mishahu, zeyi karv l'shem mishahu. Each karban is brought for the one of the owners whose karbanos got mixed up. So Reuven, Shimon, Levi all had karbanos. We're assuming they're karbanos of the same variety. That's the easy case. So then we just say, okay, so Reuven brings one of them, Shimon brings one of them, Levi brings one of them, and we all go home happy. That's theoretically good. The Gemara immediately, though, challenges it. One line up from the bottom. V'boi smicha. You have to lean on the karban. Right, you bring your olo. You have to do smicha on the karban. So how's that? How can we avoid that? Unless you're going to say, which we didn't in the Mishnah, that all of them lean on each of the karbanos. We don't entertain that possibility. The Gemara says Amar Yosef b'karban nashim. The answer is we're dealing with women's karbanos. You'll recall from the discussion regarding Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed that women's karbanos do not require smicha because the Torah says Daberel b'nei Yisrael. So b'nei Yisrael somchum below b'nos Yisrael somchos. Women are not obligated to. Granted that we do say they may lean on the karban. There's a whole discussion about that regarding Yom Tov and Chagiga. But the rule is women don't have to lean on the karban. So since women don't have to lean on the karban, and that could be our answer in our Mishnah. If the husband does it on behalf of their agent, then he would require. Yeah. Not necessarily. I'm not 100% sure of that. But all they want to do here, in any case, is come up with a case in which the mixed karbanos would not require smicha. So even if it's true that the husband would have to do smicha in the event that he brought it, the answer is that this is a case where he didn't. And Tosos asks a whole series of questions based on, well, what couldn't it have been this, couldn't it have been that? He gives you every possible eventuality in which karbanos do not require smicha. Maybe it's a karban from someone who wasn't Jewish, maybe it's a karban that was brought this way, maybe it's this one's karban. Yeah, that's that monster Tosos there that takes up the entire Amud is spent on cases in which, theoretically, you shouldn't require smicha and the answers that we could have given for this. However, the Gemara says the women's answer doesn't seem to work. Why? He says, Aval b'karban anashim lo. Does that mean that you wouldn't do what we prescribed in our Mishnah? You wouldn't say, let Reuven bring one of them, Shimon bring one of them, Levi bring one of them, if these were actually owned by a Reuven, a Shimon, a Levi, if they were owned by men? Esve Abaye, Abaye challenges that Tavavayin Hayamad Aleph from a long quote, a long passage here from a Braisa. We learned, Karban Yachid Shinisarev b'karban Yachid. Private karbanos got mixed up. The karban sibur, shenisarev the karban sibur, or karban sibur gets mixed up. Rashi says, by the way, on the top of the page, bekulu garsin on karban. The word should be karban. You look at it and say, well, why not? And the answer is, if you look in the sheet of Mekubetzes, his edition says chatos. That it's actually chatos, not karban. So that's why Rashi hastens to tell you it's lav davka chatas, and we'll see Rashi stress that momentarily. So private karbanos got mixed up. The karban sibur shnisarev the karban sibur, communal karbanos got confused. The karban yachid the karban sibur shnisarvu zebazeh, or a private karban got mixed up with a communal karban. How in the world does that happen? The Shita Mekubetzes asks how that can happen, given that private and communal karban chatas are of different genders. As we'll actually see on the next side. So Rashi tells you, if you see Rashi, the top Rashi, Karban Yachid b'Karban Tzibur, can go and Sahir Nasi b'Sahir Haragalim. Let's say the Nasi sin, so he brings a goat for his chatas, whereas the Sahir that's brought on Yom Tov is different. The one brought by the Nasi is a male, the one brought by the community on Yom Tov is a female. So you won't get them, they're both male. That's why you can get them mixed up. Ola ba'ola. An Ola mixed in with an Ola, which tells you that Rashi believes it isn't Chatos here. That's how you know Rashi. Yeah, that's what Rashi is trying to do by saying this is Karban, not Chatos. You can have it by an Ola mixed in with an Ola. The reason why Rashi doesn't like the Sar Nasi with Sar Regalim will become clear further in the Gemara. In any case, the private korbanos got confused, communal korbanos got confused, private korbanos got mixed up with communal korbanos. No sein arba matanos mikol echad v'echad. So our first recommendation is, from each korban you bring, four matanos. Rashi says, shtai matanos shein arba kam, or two which are four, because one possibility is that this is a chatas. But even still, it's two matanos, which are four matanos. The avim nasan matana mikol echad yatza. If you did one matana from each, that's also fine. Matana obviously is matan damin, the blood. Vim nasan arba mikulan yatza. And if you did four from all of them, from the collective blood, that also works. Tosus and Chita Mekubetzes have a big problem here. Their addition in Rashi says that four from all actually means two from each. And no one understands what that means. What do they mean? Two from each carbon? Why would you require two from each carbon? We had a machlokas based on Beis Shammai about what the minimum is that you require. Beis Shammai says you require two matanos, not Beis Hillel. So Tosos's answer is that he means two from the private carbonos and two from the communal carbonos. We have multiple from each. In other words, there were two private carbonos that got mixed in with two communal carbonos, so it's two private and two public. But that's not even what their main point here is. The main point we have to get to. But again, Abai is challenging. You told me that the reason why we didn't require smicha on the karbanos in the Mishnah is because these karbanos were brought by women. I'm going to prove to you that our discussion about mixed up karbanos includes karbanos brought by men. The sheets are by the door. So the Braisa continues. The Braisa that Abai quotes continues. Ba'med devar mamurim. When is this true? That we say you bring these, you know, either four from each one, or at least four from the collective blood. Shnis arvu chayin, where they got mixed together. I'm going to translate for now the simple way: while the animals were still alive. Avol nis arvu shchutin, but if they were mixed together, once the animals had already been shechted, and therefore, as Rashi explains, there is no more smicha happening. You can't do smicha anymore. The blood, actually Rashi doesn't say it here, he says it elsewhere, but the point is, the blood's already been mixed up, the animal's already gone. Then, no sein arba matanos mikulan, then you give four matanos from the collective blood. Vimnasa matanachas mikulan yatsa, and if you did one matana, you also fulfilled your obligation. Rabbi Omer Roenes hamatana im yeshba kadei lazeu kadei lazek sheira vimla psula. Rabbi says, you look at the matan damim, at the presentation of the dam. If it's large enough that it really could contain a shear from each of the karbanos, then yatsa. If it does not contain a shear from each of the karbanos, then not yatsa. Okay, so the point for us is only one thing here. That we talk about how to remedy a situation in which karbanos that are alive are mixed up, and we don't mention smicha. We don't mention having the owners of each of the karbanos lean on the karbanos. So the Gemara says, that's the end of the quote from the Raisa. Katani yachid dumya ditzibur. Matzibur gavri af yachid gavri. We list the individual karban along with the communal karban. The communal karban we take as referring to a karban of men by default. That's the way we look at the karban tzibur. So we're listing the individual's karban with it. That must also be a karban of men. That's our association. And you didn't say that we have to lean on the karbanos. And the karbanos are still alive. That means that smicha theoretically should have occurred. If you see Rashi of Yachid Begavri, ve'af agav deboi smicha, even though smicha should be required. Umid tzibur lamatzi la'osve. The fact that they mention communal karbanos itself doesn't prove anything. You can't ask anything from the tzibur one. She'in smicha betzibur. Because by communal karbanos, as a general rule, you don't have smicha. Only by the chatas that's done inside in the heichal. And here we're not talking about chatas apnimios because we talk about four presentations of the dam on the mizbeach. That's not germane to the chatas that are done inside. So, well, that's because we said chayin. The word chayin tends to mean that, no? The nisar v'chayin. Yeah, that was our first point. We had nisar v'chayin versus nisar v'shchutin. So again, my challenge is, you're telling me that the case of mixed up karbanos, that you can bring them without smicha, is talking about women's karbanos. I have a case here that doesn't seem to be about women's karbanos. So Rava answers. Amar Rava says, you know why? because you're right. Chayin doesn't really mean while the animals are alive. We're about eight lines up from the bottom in Ayin Hamad Aleph. V'tizbara, he says, is that really logical? You really think that's what that means? Hamatratz tahi diktani b'med devar mamurim kishnis arvu chayin alvanis arvu shchutin lo. He says, do you think that reads right? To say, when is this true? When they are mixed in while they are alive, but if they're mixed in when they're shechted, no. Mali chayim and mali shchutin. He says that line doesn't work in general, because why should we distinguish then between live ones and shechted ones? In other words, if your two cases are, number one, the animals got mixed up while they were alive, and number two, we shechted them and then we mixed them up, there should be no distinction in terms of what we do. Once you eliminate smicha from the calculation, the rule of put this many presentations of the dam on the mizbeach shouldn't be any different. He says, if your dividing line is before the animals are killed and after the shechita, then there's no difference in my prescription. My prescription is the same. Do four matanos from each one. If you can't do four matanos from each one, do four at least from all of them collectively. But the prescription doesn't change. So he says that can't be what this brisa meant. The brisa is not, it doesn't work in terms of the recommendations. If you look at the sheet, we said live mixtures, four from each, or at least one from each, b'dieved four from all. Dead mixtures, four from each, at least one from each, right? That was the that was what we actually recommended here. He says there should be no distinction at all. If all you're talking about is where the animal was alive and where the animal was shechted, you should have just forgotten the distinction and said, this is what we do, four from each, one from each, that's all it is. He says, mali chayim, mali shchutin. Ella, rather, five, six lines up from the bottom. Hachi kiyamar, this is what we're saying. Bamed devar mamurim, the first part of the brisa. When is this true? Shnis arvu shchutin ke'en chayim, bekosos. It's even where they are already dead, and the mixture of the dam occurred with cups that are separate. In other words, I had here a cup of dam from the private carbon, and here I had a cup of dam from the communal carbon, and I got confused as to which cup was which. That's chayin. Even after the animal is dead. And you want to know why we didn't require smicha? It's because the animal's already dead. They had smicha. Smicha was done before the shechita. Aval bibolel, but the case of nisarvu shchutin, the irub that's after shechita, really meant where you mixed up the dam altogether. As Rashi says, aval bibolel, shnei adamim l'toch kos echad. The blood from the two karbanos got mixed into one cup. And that's when we say, no sein arba matanos lechulan. You give four matanos for all of them collectively, because frankly, there's nothing else you can do. Back in the Gemara, v'bolel, no sein arba matanos lechulan, v'im nasan matanachas lechulan yotze. If you did one, you're also yotze. So live mixtures meant, even if the animal is dead, but all the dam is separate. Dead mixtures meant all the dam is together, and you can't prove anything from here as to whether we need to do smicha or not. So Abaye, you have no challenge for me. The upshot is, our Mishnah said that if the karbanos are confused, we don't worry about smicha. We just have one carbon brought by each owner. And Rav Yosef's answer that's by karbanos of women is a fine answer. That could be. In fact, if there were karbanos of men, and you still needed to do your smicha, our Mishnah would not work. You couldn't simply say, let each owner bring one karban. That would not be an acceptable resolution, because you missed smicha. Yes? Inside the animal, I hope.
No, so where do you take the cost?
Right, and the answer is it's not. That's what he's saying. He's saying this arvu chayin doesn't literally mean chayin. It means anything before the dam leaves the kos. So it's even if the animal is dead.
It's still alive.
No, the animal is dead. Nisarvu chayin includes...
The dam is alive.
Right, the dam is alive.
Yeah,
so you're right, the animal is gone. The animal's gestorben. Yeah, the animal's not talking anymore.
What do you mean, machshava for the matan?
Do you need machshava for the right person? Apparently not.
Just for the
shechita,
not for the
matanah,
not for the
zrika,
not for anything.
For as long as the shem chatas.
Well,
keep in mind, Rashi thinks
by zrika or by matanah.
Right. We don't want pigul, but no, pigul isn't an issue here. Yeah. So the Gemara now grabs onto to one last point from Abaye's brisa. It's a tangent, but so what? The Rebbe had said that you have to make sure that the individual matanah that you do contains sufficient dam, such that it could include matanos from each of the karbanos. Okay, you had three karbanos, it has to have three times the shear for zrika. That's the requirement that Rebbe said. And the Gemara now says, really? I didn't think Rebbe believed that. Rebbe Omer, we're quoting Rebbe, four lines up from the bottom. Rebbe Omer, Rowan is Hamatana, Yeshba Kadelazeu, Kadelazek Shei, Rebbe Imla, Psula. If it has sufficient quantity for all of them, good. And if not, it's puzzle. So he says, Umi Isle Le Rebbe Hai Svara. Since when does Rebbe believe that? Vatanya, I have a Brisa. Oh my Rebbe, this is a completely different context. The discussion is mechatas, water from the Paraduma that has the Paraduma ashes mixed into it, and it got that water got mixed in with other water. And now I want to do a hazah. It's not mixed in like separate cups. It's all in one vessel. So I want to do a hazah. And there, on my Rebbe, Rebbe says, L'divrei Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, who says I have to do two sprinklings from that mixture, hazah kol shehu mitaheres. Any minimal amount is sufficient for the hazah, for the sprinkling to work. Hazah eina tzricha shir. Hazah does not require any amount, any specific amount. Hazah mechza kashu, mechza pasul. And I don't care if half the water that I'm holding and using for this sprinkling is going to be kosher and half of it is pasul. It doesn't matter. End of quote. So we're going to see this whole discussion, because we're going to have to come back to this on Daf Pei, in a discussion about Bila, about how mixtures are done. But for now, the point is, Rebbe tells me that Rebbe Eliezer says, if I get my Paraduma water mixed in with other water, no problem. Rebbe Eliezer tells me to do two hazos, and it can be of any minimal amount. But according to Rebbe, regarding Zrikas Hadam, I should require that the water be sufficiently. I should be using enough water that I'm guaranteed that it has two. That it's double the shear. One shear for the pasul, one shear for the kosher. So the Gemara gives us two answers. One answer is l'dvar of Rabbi Eliezer ka'amar. You're right, but regarding Hazah, he was just explaining Rabbi Eliezer's view. Himself personally, he disagrees. Or alternatively, I'll tell you, sprinkling the water from the Paraduma is different from sprinkling the dam on the Mizbeach. Why? Rashi tells you on the third thin line, if you're putting blood from the carbon, it has to be visible on the corners of the Mizbeach, and if it's two, which are four, it has to be visible on both sides of the corner, so there's a real shear that's going to be required there.
How can you compare blood to water?
They're both presentations of a liquid. Well, the answer that they're offering, one of the two answers that they're offering is that one requires a shear and one does not. But you'll have to see more about this on Daf Pei, because it's not nearly this simple. We're getting off easy right now. Okay. Yeah, it feels like it, right? Okay. We said in the Mishnah that if that's all right, the rest of this daf is easy. We said in the Mishnah that if a carbon is mixed up with bechor or maaser, so you wait for a mum and then you eat the carbon as though it was bechor or as though it was maaser. That's what we said in the Mishnah. And the lesson that we learned from that was a lesson about not measuring it the way you would on the market, not weighing it the way you would on the market. We'll come to that momentarily. First, though, we deal with a small issue of tuma and tahara. There's a machlokas beis hillel and beis shammai in the Gemara in Bechoros regarding eating a bechor that gets a mum, that has a blemish, right? The rule is the kohen gets to eat the bechor after it has a mum. So the pasuk says, if it gets a mum, hatameh v'hatahor yachdav. Tameh and tahor can eat it together. That's the rule. Beis Hillel understands that to mean that even a nida can eat from the bechor baal mum. Anyone with any type of tumah can eat from the bechor once it has a mum. Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai says, we distinguish between tumah hayotzeis migufo and other types of tumah. We distinguish between tumah that emerges from one's body, that's a stricter type of a tumah, like a nida, like a zav, and other types of tumah that they gain externally. And Beis Shammai's position is that a nida or a zav would not be allowed to eat the bechor baal mum, the blemished bechor. That's the rule from the Gemara in Bechoros. So now apply it here. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says, "Bechor le Beis Shammai ein ma'achilin lenidos." He says a nida cannot eat the bechor according to Beis Shammai's view. That's simple. That's the Gemara in Bechoros. But now he asks a question which is going to lead us to where he really wants to go. Tumuraso mahu. What about the tumura of a bechor that then got a mum? Bechor eino nifta. A further question. He says, you can't redeem a bechor that's unblemished. Tumuraso mahu, can you redeem the tumura of a bechor? The bechor eino nishka belitra. The bechor gets a mum. You can't, by the way, that line before was, I think, even with a blemish. The rule that he just said about Bechorei no Nifta. But yeah, that's even with a mum. That's even without a mum. That's even a tum. The Bechorei no Nishko Balitra. When the Bechor gets a mum and you want to measure it out, you can't do it the way that they do it on the open market with, you know, for business. You can't use the standard business weights. Tmuraso Mahu, what about the Tmur of a Bechor? Amar Rava, and Rava said, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Bechor u'maiser mishahumamu osin tamura. Bechor and maiser, even when they get a mum, still make tamura. If I were to try to declare an animal a tamura of a Bechor ba'al mum, that would be effective. U'tmurasin kayotze bahen, and the tamura animal will have the same status that the Bechor has, that the maiser has. Correct. All the same rules will apply. The only reason the Gemara brought this about the tamura is to lead into the next piece. Okay, all of this was just background set up for Rami Bar Chama. Here's the real question. It's a fascinating philosophical question. Boy, Rami Bar Chama asks, Hispis Bechor Lebedek Habayis, Mausha Yishko Balitra. Let's say, what I did was, I took a Bechor animal, it got a mum, and I dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, to Bedek Habayis. So here's my problem. If you're going to tell, it's a basic balance of Pseida versus Zilzul. On the one hand, you'll tell me that I'm not allowed to measure this out, right? When I want to redeem it, because it's Bedek HaBayis now. When I want to redeem it, I can't measure it the way you do on the open market, because that will degrade the carbon. But measuring it the way they do on the open market would encourage me to spend more. Yes, we had it as a minor question on our Mishnah. Now the Gemara is walking us through it. You're right. Now it's front and center. The question fundamentally is a question that everybody deals with in a variety of ways. I want to preserve the kedusha of something. On the other hand, that's going to cost it money. Right? To take something and not make a halachic statement in any way, shape, or form about it. But I am a shul and I want to run a casino night. Right? You'll tell me I'll make money, but it's a zilzul for the shul. So which is the right thing to do? I'm not making any statements whatsoever. Don't take anything that way. I'll erase the recording later. But the point is, are you allowed to do something that degrades Kedusha in order to provide it with survival? In order to provide it with more money? That's the fundamental question. Pseida versus Zilzul. What do you do when you redeem this Bechor Ba'al Mum that was dedicated to the Bedek HaBayis? Ravcha de Hektish Adiv Odoma Zilusa de Bechor Adiv. Is it more important that Hektish make money? Or is it more important that you avoid degrading the Bechor? So our first attempt to try to prove it goes back to our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida says, look what we said in the Mishnah. Tashma, come in here. We learned. Nisarvu bebechorvu meiser yiruad sheyistavu v'yeachlu kibechor uchameiser. If the animal gets mixed up with the bechor, gets mixed up with the meiser, you wait for it to get a mum and you eat it like bechor and meiser. Meaning lav lemeimra dein o nishko belitra. Isn't that telling me you do not weigh it out the way that they would on the market? As Rashi says, va'av agav deikab seida dehektish. Right. Even though there is going to be a loss for hektish, gabe pidyon sharas vacham hameuravim, when it comes to redeeming the other karbanos, which could have been weighed out. Shepidyon demayim lahektish, because the redemption, the money that's going to come for them goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Ukar for karbanos, ukamer deloma zazalinan bebechor mishumhani. We said we're not going to degrade the bechor for the sake of redeeming at full value these other karbanos. Alma mishum hach nami lo. So you see then in this case also, the case that you asked about a bechor that went for Bedek HaBayis, the rule is the same. We put zilzul before pseida. We don't want to degrade hektish. That's what seems to be proven here. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. You know why? I'll say it outside and then we'll see it inside. The reason is, because the case that you're talking about in the Mishnah, you would have to degrade the Bechor in order to make money on the other Karbanos that got mixed in with it. You follow? The only ones you're supposed to be making money on are the other Karbanos, not the Bechor. Whereas in our discussion, you're talking about a Bechor Ba'al Mum itself that was dedicated to Bedek HaBayis. And therefore you're degrading the Bechor in order to make money on the Bechor. So therefore the benefit is in the same one. Think about it when we talk about not you can't sin in order for somebody else to get his chus. Right? Same idea. They also mitzvah bavi de'avera, but that's not the point. The point here is that it's two different entities. As the Gemara walks us through it, Rav Huna, Rav Chizkiya, Talmidei Rabbi Yirmiya, Amri, Mi, Dami, Rav Huna, Rav Chizkiya, students of Rabbi Yirmiya said, you can't compare our discussion, B'chor Balmum, with the Mishnah where the Karbanos got confused. Hasam Shtei Kedushos U'Shnei Gufin. There it's two different bodies, two different Kedushos. Hacha Shtei Kedushos V'Guf Echad. Here it's two separate Kedushos and a single entity. And therefore, that which does the zilzul inherently brings the income. Maskif la Rabbi Yossi bar Avin. So Rabbi Yossi bar Avin says, okay, fine. I'll bring you a different proof. Drop our Mishnah as proof. Ma ilu amar hivduli b'chor shehes piso lebedek habayis klum shomim lo. He says, let's say you had a b'chor that was a tum. And you said, I am dedicating this b'chor tum to the bedek habayis. And you tell people to redeem it. One is a tum, it's not blemished. Would we listen to him? Klum shomim lo. Would we listen to him at all? Of course not. Right? We don't listen to him. So doesn't that prove that you don't degrade kachim in order to make money? To which his answer is, no, that's a delraisa issue. That's not like selling it on the butcher's market. That's a delraisa. A b'chor tam can't be redeemed. If do, redeem it. Rachmanam alo sifta. The Torah said you can't redeem it. That's why. It's not because of a calculation of pseida versus zilzol. It's because you're not allowed to do that. Tosas is a problem, because Tosas Hispi says that the rule that you can't weigh the way they do on the butcher's market is also a del raisa. But in any case, Ella Amar Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami says, I'll bring you an argument. This is our third attempt. Klum hiknazeh ella masha kanula. He says, you know what? In the case in which the Kohen owns the Bechor that was a Baal Mum, and he dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash, he only gave the Beis HaMikdash that which he had been given in the first place. Klum hikna, he only assigned, he only dedicated, ella masha kanula, that which had been made his in the first place. So in other words, he didn't have the right, before he dedicated it, to be able to redeem it in the way you redeem in the butcher's market. Right? Therefore, those profits were not dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash in the first place, and therefore, I'll tell you, that's why you can't do it in the butcher's way here. However, it could be that in other contexts, we would in fact go for making more money at the expense of Zilzul of Hekdash. It's entirely possible that in other contexts we would. So again, we wanted to prove whether you go with making more money for the Beis HaMikdash or you go for avoiding Zilzul. We thought we could prove from Bechor that you go with avoiding Zilzul. However, the Bechor case really may not be extrapolable, so to speak. You may not be able to extrapolate from that to other cases because it's really unique. That's the idea. Okay. We then said in the Mishnah, Hakol Yecholin Lehis Arev. All karbanos can be confused, except for chatas and asham. They cannot be confused with each other. I brought you a table so that you would see which type of animal is brought for each type of karban. The ones we want to fix on are the ones that I bolded. Chatas yachid and asham talui. Those cannot be confused because one is a female animal. Chatas brought by an individual is a female goat or a female sheep. And the karban asham talui is a ram. They don't mean a regular asham because a regular asham is indeed female. You can confuse a regular asham with a regular chatas. What they mean is a karban chatas with an asham talui. That's what we're talking about. And he says you can't confuse the two. So the Gemara asks, "Maishna chatas va'asham? What's so unique about chatas and asham talui that they can't be mixed up? Dahai zachar v'hai nekeva. It's that this one, the asham talui, is a male, and the chatas is in a keva, is a female. Chatas va'ola nami. The same thing is true regarding chatas and ola. I didn't bring ola on the table. I should have. But the Ola is of the same thing, because the Ola is a Zachar. The Ola is a male. So therefore, you can't get it confused with your Karban Chatas. The same rule should pertain. And the Gemara then, the Shittim Kubetzis throws in extra words that help in this next piece. The Gemara's answer is, Ika Sa'ir Nasi. That's true, but there is such a thing as a Chatas that is a male. The Nasi brings his Karban Chatas, he brings a male goat. So there you can have it, and therefore the Chatas can be a male and could be confused with an Ola. To which the Shittim Gubetzis adds words, Chatas v'asham nami yigasar Nasi, then your Chatas and Asham can be confused also. Right? Your Chatas and Asham Talui can be confused as well. The Asham Talui is a male, and the Chatas that's brought by the Nasi is a male. So I'll come back to you and say that even Chatas and Asham can be confused. So the Gemara's answer is no. You know why? Hai se'ar v'hai tsemer. Chatas has a different type of a hair. The chatas animal that you're talking about is, even the chatas of a nasi, is a goat. Right? Goats have hair. Whereas the asham taloi is a ram. It has wool. You don't confuse wool and hair. I'm looking at these two animals and I say, gee, which carbon is it? He says to me, can't you tell a ram from a goat? Well, you never grew up on a farm. You never had a problem on the customs form. You know, rams and goats don't look alike. So the Gemara says, well, Pesach va'asham nami lo me'ari, fine, but a carbon Pesach won't get confused with an asham taloi. Hai ben shanim, hai ben shnei shanim. One is a year old and one is 2 years old. Ika asham nazir asham mitzara. He says, yeah, but the asham brought by a nazir or a mitzara is a male lamb that is also only a year old, like the carbon Pesach. That's one answer. The ibay is ema. Alternatively, I'll answer. Ika ben shana demechzik ben shtei shana. Vika ben shtei demechzik ben shana. There are yearling animals that look like they're 2 years old. They're big for their age. There are 2 year old animals that look like they are a year old as well. Just to run through the Mishnah. Asham shenisari b'shlamim. If the asham gets confused with the shlamim, so now you have a private, I'm sorry, you have a kachim mixed in with a kachim kalim. So what are you supposed to do? Rabbi Shimon omer shneim yishchetu b'tzafa, yishachtu b'tzafon v'yayachlu kechomer shebahen. Rabbi Shimon says, treat them both like kachim, that's easy. Amrulo, to which they replied, ein mevi'in kachim lebeis hapsul. You're not allowed to do that because you're going to cause the kachim to be more easily disqualified. Rashi says you're moving up the time by which it has to be eaten. There are other views. The Dam Zavachim says the issue is reducing the end time specifically. The Rambam says it becomes disqualified more easily. He says this regarding Shemitah and Truma, but it's a discussion we'll have to have another time. The point is, you're now going to cause this kachim kalim to be more destroyed, to be more easily destroyed than it should be. So therefore, he disagrees. What do you do instead? You get it. Let it get a mum. You let it get a mum and you redeem it. Nisarvu chatichas bachatichos. What if pieces of carbon meat got mixed up? So now there's nothing I can do. You can't wait for it to get a mum. So kachim kachim bekachim kalim. What do you do? Hanechalon liyom echad benechalon lishnayamim v'layla. Sometimes you have one carbon that can be eaten for a day, another carbon that can be eaten for 2 days with an intervening night. Ye'achlu kechomer shebahen. If you're dealing with pieces of carbon, the only thing you can do is eat it in the strictest way possible and treat it all with the greatest strictures. But if I have an option, I would like to avoid that. Rabbi Shimon says you treat it all like kachay kachim, even if the animals were still alive.
What's the other option?
Then let it get a mum. And redeem it. No, if you're dealing with where there's no other option, everyone will say, do like Rabbi Shimon said, treat it as the strictest of the possibilities. That's the rule. Rabbi Chaim ben Akash,